Hello. I know the age of hysterical literature is probably past us, however, my favourite book is A Picture of Dorian Gray by Oscar Wilde, and my favourite vibe, this one, is very, very cute and my favourite for a reason. So I'm going to put my two favourite things together and I'm going to try and read for you while this is between my legs. I'm going to lose my place. I'm going to screw up the words, but I don't care. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to edit. I'm just going to see how long it takes me to completely lose the plot. I am sitting at my desk, which is probably unconventional, though, in keeping with the hysterical literature that was done. I have my microphone. I have my iPad with Dorian Gray on it. I'm recording, obviously. I'm in my chair. I've got my clothes off. And I've got my vibe, which I'm just going to slide between my legs. There we go. Get it nice and seated. I'm going to turn it on. And I'm going to start a little way into the book when the gentleman who, what's his name? Harry Horwood. No, Lord Henry is talking to Basil Horwood, who did the portrait, about why he can't exhibit it. Okay, ready for this? This could take some time, or it could take not a lot of time at all. Okay. Okay, that's a good start. Basil, this is extraordinary. I must see Dorian Gray. Horwood got up from the seat and walked up and down the garden. After some time, he came back. Harry, he said, Dorian Gray is to me simply a motive in art. You might see nothing in him. I see everything in him. He is never more present in my work than when no image of him is there. He is a suggestion, as I have said, of a new manner. I find him in the curves of certain lines, in the loveliness and subtleties of certain colours. That is all. Then why won't you publish his portrait? Asked Lord Henry. Because without intending it, I have put into it some expression of all this curious artistic idolatry, of which, of course, I have never cared to speak to him. He knows nothing about it. He shall never know anything about it. But the world might guess it. And I will not bare my soul to their shallow, prying eyes. My heart shall never be put under their microscope. There is too much of myself in the thing, Harry, too much of myself. Poets are not so scrupulous as you are. They know how useful passion is for publication. Nowadays, a broken heart will run to many editions. I hate them for it, cried Horwood. An artist should create beautiful things, but should put nothing of his own life into them. We live in an age when men treat art as if it were meant to be a form of autobiography. We have lost the abstract sense of beauty. Some day I will show the world what it is, and for that reason the world shall never see my portrait of Dorian Gray. I think you are wrong, Basil, and I won't argue with you. It is only the intellectually lost who ever argue. Tell me, is Dorian Gray very fond of you? Okay, I'm just going to turn this up now. Oh. The painter considered for a few moments. He likes me, he answered after a pause. I know he likes me. Of course, I flatter him dreadfully. I find a strange pleasure in saying things to him that I know I shall be sorry for having said. As a rule, he is charming to me, and we sit in the studio and talk of a thousand things. Now and then, however, he is horribly thoughtless, and seems to take a real delight in giving me pain. Then I feel, Harry, that I have given away my whole soul to someone who treats me as if it were a flower to put in his coat, a bit of decoration to charm his vanity, an ornament for a summer's day. Days in summer, Basil, are apt to linger, murmured Lord Henry. Perhaps you will tire sooner than you will. It is a sad thing to think of, but there is no doubt that genius lasts longer than beauty. That accounts for the fact that we all take such pains to over-educate ourselves. In the wild struggle for existence, we want to have something that endures, and so we fill our minds with rubbish and facts in the silly hope of keeping our place. The thoroughly well-informed man, that is the modern ideal. And the mind, thoroughly well-informed man, is a dreadful thing. It is like a bric-a-brac shop or monsters and dust, with everything priced above its proper value. I think you will tire first, all the same. Some days you will look at your friend and he will seem to you to be a little out of drawing. Or you won't or like his tone of colour or something, you will bitterly reproach him in your own heart and seriously think that he has behaved very badly to you. The next time he calls, you will be perfectly cold and indifferent. It will be a great pity, for it will alter you. What you have told me is quite a romance of art, one might call it, and the worst of having a romance of any kind is that it leaves one so unromantic. Harry, don't talk like that. As long as I live, the personality of Dorian Gray will dominate me. You can't feel what I feel. You change too often. Fuck. My dear Basil, that is exactly why I can feel it. Those who are faithful know only the trivial side of love. It is the faithless who know love's tragedies. And Lord Henry struck a light on a dainty silver case and began to smoke a cigarette with a self-consciousness and satisfied air, as if he had summed up the world in a phrase. There was a rustle of chirping sparrows in the green layer leaves of the ivy, and the blue cloud shadows chased themselves across the grass like swallows. How pleasant it was in the garden, and how delightful other people's emotions were. Much more delightful than their ideas, it seemed to him. One's own soul and the passions of one's friends, those were the fascinating things in life. He pictured himself with silent amusement and tedious luncheon that he had missed by staying so long with Basil Hallward. Oh, had he gone to his aunt's, he would have been sure to have met Lord Goodbody there, and the whole conversation would have been about the feeding of the poor and the necessity for model lodging houses. Each class would have preached the importance of those virtues, for whose exercise was no necessity in their own lives. The rich would have spoken on the value of thrift, and the idle, grown eloquent over the dignity of labour. It was charming to have escaped all that. As he thought of his aunt, an idea seemed to strike him. He turned to Hallward and said, "My dear fellow, I have just remembered. Okay, I'm going to turn this up full now and see what happens." Remembered what, Harry? Where I heard the name of Dorian Gray. Where was it? Said Hallward with a slight frown. Don't look so angry, Basil. It was my aunt, Lady Agatha's. She told me she had discovered a wonderful young man who was going to help her in the East End, and that his name was Dorian Gray. I am bound to stake that she never told me he was good-looking. Women have no appreciation of good looks. At least good women have not. She said that he was very earnest. And had a beautiful nature. I at once pictured to myself a creature with spectacles and lank hair, horribly freckled and trampling about on huge feet. I wish I had known it was your friend. I am very glad you didn't, Harry. Why? I don't want you to meet him. You don't want me to meet him? No. Mr. Dorian Gray is in the studio, sir, said the butler, coming into the garden. You must introduce me now, cried Lord Henry, laughing. The painter turned to his servant, who stood blinking in the sunlight. Ask Mr. Gray to wait, Parker. I shall be in a few minutes. And the man bowed and went up to walk. Fuck. I'm just really... Damn it. Then he looked at Lord Henry. Dorian Gray is my dearest friend, he said. He has a simple and a beautiful nature. Your aunt is quite right in what she said of him. Don't spoil him. Don't try to influence him. Your influence would be bad. The world is wide and so many marvellous people in it. Don't take away from me the one person he gives to my heart whatever charm it possesses. My life as an artist depends on him. Mine, Harry, I trust you. He spoke very slowly, and the words seemed wrung out of him against his will. What nonsense you talk! Jesus, fuck. I nearly made it all the way to the end of that page. Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm just going to finish my sentence. What nonsense you talk. Said Lord Henry, smiling and taking Hallward by the arm. He almost led him into the house. There's something very wicked about trying to distract yourself from having an orgasm when all you really want to do is give in. My dear Dorian, my apologies for fluffing some of your lines.